I often think how wonderful it would be if someday, spacecraft from Earth were to visit this satellite as they journey deep into space. We give our services freely and expect nothing in return. Food and provisions are given to all visiting crafts such as those journeying to solar systems far beyond their mother planets. We are here to aid and guide them as best we can. Yes, it would be wonderful to welcome an Earth craft entering our airlocks. This may not occur in my lifetime, but it will surely happen someday. On approaching Milka, space travelers see the identification beacons as a glowing ring of square lights which girdle the satellite. Green is for Earth's solar system, which stands out in contrast to the light gray metallic surface of the satellite. Orange is the distinctive color for Granova, Pyrol's homing station for their solar system. These light, or homing in stations for magnetically propelled spacecraft, are located in the main magnetic fields flowing between the solar systems. The craft used by space travelers range from two-seater scout craft carried by their mother ships, to the largest masterpieces of design and technology, which are veritable floating cities in space. The Confederation spacecraft were spherical in appearance prior to 1941. It was these craft which were used to explore the universe and solar systems many thousands of years ago. Then the spherical craft were superseded by the astral craft. These were named by the Cold Asian designer in honor of his wife Astra Elder. Other smaller craft are disc-shaped. Larger carriers are cigar-shaped and measure in kilometers. These are used for cargo and passengers. All these craft are propelled by magnetic flux. The magnetic streams have different layers with various velocities. The motors, with which all craft are fitted, serve as rudders directing the craft into the various velocity layers. The highest velocity is reached on the outer surface and can exceed that of light. The magnetic streams crisscross deep space, connecting planets, solar systems, galaxies and even universes in a vast web of highways and byways for space travelers and their craft. The highway must be cleared of floating meteoritic debris, and for this reason the Confederation has been patrolling the magnetic streams, fields, for a very long time. When meteors are found, they are completely destroyed by a device called the Sun Ray. Weora was in charge of the meteor sweep of the magnetic fields in our solar system at the time Voldar was appointed to the Pyrolian system. Voldar was sad to leave Weora's patrol division, as it meant that he would not be able to contact Edwin and his group. The bond of friendship had deepened since his two-year stay with Edwin. It was during the transmission of June 5, 1968 at 8:55 p.m., during the official opening of the Pyrolian satellite, Granova, that Weora said, "We have now positioned ourselves over your planet so that we can intercept the first radio transmissions from Granova. When the broadcast starts, we will relay it to you. You will first hear a long continuous signal at 9 p.m. This is the beacon to guide the astral craft to their solar system. Then a Pyrolian official will send a message to Calder's and the Confederation. Although he will speak in Cold Asian, I will translate his speech for you. As we have some time in hand, I would like to connect you to Voldar, who is in an astral craft next to ours. He wishes to talk to you. Stand by for Voldar." Very soon Voldar's voice was heard. "I am Voldar. The personnel and myself send greetings to you, Edwin, and all who are listening. My friends, this will be my last transmission to you from this craft. During my next cycle of duty, I will be within the solar system of Pyrol. I have been given a division of 6 astral craft to sweep the magnetic fields of that system. Mank Dun will relieve me during my rest periods. My friends, the personnel and myself would like to thank you for listening to our radio communications, for by doing so you have given us much joy. We are sorry that we will not be able to transmit to you regularly in the future, but when the opportunity arises, we will certainly do so again. For the present time, may the Divine One guide and protect you all. I am your old friend, George." With that he handed the transmission back to Weora, who said, "Stand by now for the homing signal from the Conth.Under. Note, this is not the only case of extraterrestrials reportedly coming to live and work on the surface of our planet for a time and then leaving. There was the Ammo case in France and Spain, not all of which by far has been told, where unknown teams of men and women came here and lived and worked in a half dozen countries, living as Earth people and working in our society for their living as they studied our culture. There were also the humans from Itabira who came to Earth and operated hybridizing plantations in Peru, Bolivia, and Colombia. Cont. Here. System of Pyrol relayed to you by this astral craft 500 kilometers above Earth. Stand by. There was complete silence for about a minute, except for the background hiss of the receiver. Then the signal came through as a low-pitched continuous hum. The time was precisely 9 p.m. just as we Aura had said it would. There it was, a signal all the way from Pyrol many light-years away. With excitement in his voice, we Aura said, "My friends, they have started transmitting their homing signal and the speech will follow shortly." The signal continued for about a minute and then followed the Pyrolean official's speech in Coltasian. We Aura then spoke again. "The transmission you have just heard was from the new artificial satellite of the solar system of Pyrol. The Pyrolean leader addressed the planet Coldas and other solar systems of our confederation. Here is a translation of the speech. We come in peace. This is our ancient call sign. This is the new artificial satellite Grenova, within the solar system of Pyrol, making its first transmission to the planet Coldas and all the other planets of the Confederation. On behalf of the people of Pyrol, I would like to convey our sincerest thanks to you for making this satellite possible. I would also like to thank Coldas for the generous gift of the astral craft which have brought us a new way of life. We are deeply grateful for the Confederation technicians who came to work on our planet. Pyrol would also like to thank all the planets who have aided Pyrol immeasurably with friendship and goodwill. I will now close this transmission. May the Divine Creator be with you all. This satellite is now open to all travelers who come in peace. Note: in these transmissions, recorded over 15 years ago, it may seem like the Earth contacts are being talked down to and that the scenario is too theatrical. There may be reasons for this. Perhaps the scenes described are oversimplified for a reason. Perhaps the terms themselves are oversimplified in a popular sense because our language and technology at the time was ill-equipped to deal with actualities or because we lacked concepts for adequate communication. The fact remains that these radio messages came through in a variety of voices, not Edwin's, and not identified as anybody else's known to the group of observers. These were received before witnesses who checked every possibility of hoaxing them and have never been identified as belonging to anybody else in the group. In essence, these words translate the speech of the superior from Pyrol, related to Eora, "Their planet will now progress rapidly. Craft with cargo and passengers will now travel regularly to and from their system. Their industries will expand and their knowledge increase. The people of Pyrol have been willing to accept the truth, that the universes are populated by human beings throughout. Having accepted this, they will prosper by it. As I was listening to this transmission, I gazed down on your beautiful planet. As I have asked before, why are the people of Earth so different? Your superiors appear to promote the concept that extraterrestrials are hostile. Or they use scientific arguments why beings from light years away cannot visit Earth. There appears to be a deliberate attempt to confuse the issue. It is a great pity. Earth could have joined the Confederation." After this transmission, no further news was received by Edwin until 5 weeks later, except for a note from Weyora saying he could not keep the appointed time for a transmission. Since the Coldasians could activate the radio at will, they could and did leave messages on the untended set. He had been called away to investigate the presence of a large meteorite threatening traffic to our solar system. There was another brief message that Voldar had left and taken his 6 craft away on their new assignment. Then, one Sunday morning, in the presence of the Q group, Weyora spoke as though he wished to emphasize the similarity of the needs of his crew to those of our own astronauts. After the usual greeting, he went on to say, "While I'm making this transmission, the crew of this patrol craft will take the opportunity to eat their main meal for the day. I have just been served a warm, refreshing drink. It consists mainly of fruit juices blended together and can be enjoyed hot or cold. The fruit comes from coolers and the liquid is stored in round containers sealed at the top. When the drink is served, the seal on the top is removed and the liquid can be drunk directly from the container. We are supplied with enough of these containers to last our cycle of patrol. Our food is stored in sealed containers about 20 by 10 centimeters and are divided into many sections. Each section holds its own type of food. When the container is heated, after breaking the seal, the contents are emptied onto a square tray. This has divisions in it and the food is emptied into the various partitions. We eat our food with utensils similar to yours. There are various combinations of food within these containers, but our main diet consists of vegetables and fish found on colders. With our meals we have mazels, a type of bread. When prepared, mazels look very much like your wheat bread. It is made into small squares and eaten with the main meal. Now I would like to tell you an amusing incident which happened to Voldar and Mankdan on Pyrol. Both of them were surveying the southern hemisphere of Pyrol from an astral craft. The two Pyrolian interpreters accompanying them said they were over the city, Eland, where they were scheduled to land and make tests. Approaching the spaceport, they could see a large crowd gathered to watch their arrival. Voldar and Mankdan were told no astral craft had ever been over this city before and were asked by the Pyrolians to put on an aerobatic display for the people who were watching. Voldar agreed at once and performed every conceivable maneuver he knew. When he had completed his demonstration, the ship landed in the center of the spaceport. First to emerge, continued Uiora, were the two Pyrolians, who told the crowd assembled that this was a cold Asian patrol craft and that there were larger ones in the capital city. Next to emerge was Voldar. As his feet touched the ground, a group of Pyrolian girls rushed forward and surrounded him and in their ardor knocked him off his feet. When Mankdan emerged from the craft, he was just in time to see Voldar crawl from under the pressing mass of girls. He tried to get Voldar back into the craft but was unsuccessful. The more he tried to pull Voldar back, the more the girls pulled him away. Mankdan retreated into the ship. When he saw Voldar again, he was being chased around the ship by these girls with their long hair streaming behind them. Voldar had lost his helmet, his gloves, his boots, and they had pulled his identification epaulettes from his coveralls. At last Voldar was pulled back into the craft by the two interpreters. Back at the spaceport of the capital, Voldar was the first to exit. What a sight! It is not often one sees an astral pilot minus his flying boots, helmet and gloves and very disheveled. When asked what had happened to him, he stopped, shrugged his shoulders and said, "Beyond those mountains are some crazy girls." And with that he disappeared into the spaceport building. Mankdan, whose face was still red with laughter, then explained what had happened to Voldar. Later that day, the two Pyrolian interpreters apologized for the behavior of the women. They said the sight of the astral craft had overwhelmed them. The girls had apologized. Mankdan still teases Voldar about his experiences on Pyrol, saying, "Next time we return to Pyrol, let me give you a few lessons on how to handle Pyrolian girls." To this Voldar is said to have replied, "Thanks for your kind offer, Mankdan, but it seems strange to me that a man with your experience of women should have been the first to return to the safety of the ship." Occasionally Mankdan made a radio transmission to Q-Base.